I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 1039 WYAB. This is your safe space if you're an independent thinker out there from 9 to 11 every day. Today, Friday, putting another week in the books. So next hour, we will get to our regular segments of False Flag Friday. I've got an interesting story, one that I would say 99% of people have never, ever heard of. It's going to be a little different outside of, well, it is foreign policy. Involves the CIA. It's an interesting story, but it's a false flag. It's kind of an overarching con job that's been put over on the American people for now 50 years. Something presented to the American people is one thing when it's in all actuality something very, very, very different. We'll also look at some foreign policy. Trump's talking about removing some troops, and suddenly there's some attacks in Iraq. So we'll look at some of those things as well, and then we'll finish up the show today is with our segment this week on the crazy train, and we certainly are on that. I've never seen more surreal, more bizarre, more truly insane times than we're living in right now, and that says a lot. 2019 felt very odd. There were a lot of things going on in 2019 that felt strange. I've talked about it a lot. You know, I felt like the image I had of last year, if I could have taken one story and made it the banner carrier for 2019, it was the story about the naked man in a woman's bathroom in a McDonald's doing jumping jacks. That was my impression of 2019. Woo! I had no idea what was coming in 2020. So we'll look at it. And to start off today, I got my quote of the day. Now, this is an interesting one to me, and it's new. Erin Brockovich. If you are familiar with Erin Brockovich, she is one of the... she's an activist, you know, known for exposing some corporations that were doing some polluting that was harming people, and obviously made famous by Julia Roberts. Well, Erin Brockovich, I love when I see somebody wake up to the political system. It's really one of my favorite things. I try to wake a lot of people up on this show, but interpersonally, there's a lot of Democrats or former Democrats out there that have encountered Mike Madison over the course of years, and I don't shove anything down their throat, but I ask them questions. I try to jade everybody against the two-party system. Well, Erin Brockovich has had a bit of an awakening, and I thought I'd mention it here. She's just put out a piece. She wrote a piece, and this is just a little bit more than a paragraph of it. She said, "For years, I've been trying to impart a simple concept that Superman is not coming. Dare I say," this is Erin Brockovich, "dare I say I had hopes that this new administration would usher in the dawning of a new day," talking about the Biden administration. "As picks for President-elect Joe Biden's Environmental Protection Agency transition team were announced, I felt concerned and disheartened about a chemical industry insider being on the list. Are you kidding me?" That's what she says. So I'm going to read this again because it's just so beautiful. See, this is what everybody does. All of the partisans out there believe, oh, if we can just get our guy in there, they'll fix it all. She said, "For years, I've been trying to impart a simple concept that Superman is not coming." I would implore Republicans and even Trump supporters to understand Donald Trump is not Superman. There is no savior out there. The political system is beyond redemption at this point. But she goes on to say, "Dare I say I had hopes for the new administration that would usher in a dawning of a new day. As picks for President-elect Joe Biden's Environmental Protection Agency transition team were announced, I felt concerned and disheartened about a chemical industry insider being on the list. Are you kidding me?" No, he's not kidding. Not kidding. And Joe Biden is a swamp creature to all the liberals out there, the Democrats who feel like he's just Uncle Joe and he's just out there for the little people, just like Barack Obama was. Now, there's a lot of Republicans and conservatives out there that say, yeah, see, Joe Biden's a swamp creature. You voted for him. We tried to warn you. I actually saw this in some comments on the Aaron Brockovich piece. And if that's you, if you think that the Democrats have been hoodwinked, well, you're right, but you're not awake either. Because elections in the United States are not between Republicans and Democrats. Well, that's the political theater side of it, right? Line up behind the R's, line up behind the D's, duke it out in the streets, at the polling places, in the media. But the real election is always between, certainly has been for the last 20, 30, 40 years. Elections are between Citigroup and Goldman Sachs and all of the rest of the lobbying class. I've talked about this at length. Citigroup chose Barack Obama's cabinet. There's an email out there. People have talked about it. It was actually a story. It's one of those things that you really have to pay attention to. It certainly wasn't a story on NBC Nightly News, but it was a story that Citigroup had sent an email to the Obama campaign and said, hey, this is who we think you ought to have on your cabinet. And strangely enough, I think with the exception maybe of one cabinet member that maybe Citigroup didn't even weigh in on, the Citigroup got its cabinet. Now, people will say, but that's why we love Donald Trump. He's different. He's an outsider. Really? Were his cabinet picks outsider picks for Treasury? He picked a Goldman Sachs executive. And I believe there were about 12 Goldman Sachs guys brought into the Trump administration at the very beginning of it, including Gary Cohn, who was at the tippy top of Goldman Sachs when he came in as Donald Trump's national economic advisor, which is now in the hands of Larry Kudlow, the globalist CNBC and Wall Street banker. Health and Human Services, Eli Lilly, Trump. This is Trump. Oh, he's an outsider. Really? Because at the Department of Commerce, he put in an actual Rothschild banker, Wilbur Ross, the ancient relic Wilbur Ross, truly an actual Rothschild banker. And at defense, well, we know the Trump administration started out with a Boeing executive and then went on to a Raytheon executive who was just now departed at post-election. I'm glad they're gone, but it does not impress me much. So, anyway, Aaron Brockovich is just kind of waking up to the reality of this, and it's just funny to watch. I don't care if it's on the left or the right. When people vote and they just have all this hope that, oh, it's going to be, whether it is Aaron Brockovich thinking that she's getting this Green New Deal environmentalist and all the major corporations are going to be kicked out because this is a party of the people of the Democrats and Joe Biden. And if you start looking, I'm sure I'll do days on Joe Biden's administration. Boy, have they got some crony guys going in there. Some big corporate donor class people are flooding into the Biden administration. But unfortunately, they infested the Trump administration, the Obama administration, the Bush administration. And when I first noticed really the Citigroup, Bill Clinton had a Citigroup. His Treasury Secretary was from Citigroup. As I'm telling you, elections are not between Republicans and Democrats. That's what they show you. That's what they trick you into. The elections are between Citigroup and Goldman Sachs. Republicans being Goldman Sachs and Democrats being Citigroup for some strange reason. Now, even when the parties change, both of those big banks still do well. But I guess they just, you know, maybe it's just a friendly rivalry. You can just imagine some bankers sitting back, almost like pitching pennies. They're just watching the elections, maybe with a $100 bet on it, the CEO of Goldman Sachs versus the CEO of Citibank, and they're just laughing. And maybe they just got $1. That would be the most condescending thing they could do. Hey, watch all the people go out there and vote. Oh, my God, we got 160 million of them out there voting. Oh, Trump won. You win, the Citigroup guy says to the Goldman Sachs, and he hands him $1. Kind of like the Trading Places Mortimer and his brother when they take the Eddie Murphy character. Just a $1 bet. Yeah. So anyway, Aaron Brockovich has woken up to the system now. She's seeing the crony influence going into the Biden administration. For any of you that think you just elected this sweet Uncle Joe who just cares about the little guy, Oh, you'll wake up soon enough, too. When I come back, there's a new slogan for the COVID information terrorists, and at this point, we are being terrorized by the medical mafia, the health authorities in this country. I consider it, I mean, since we just arbitrarily label things terrorism in this country, this is kind of our new thing. I believe the people that are pushing the narratives of the shutdowns and all the hysteria and separating from your friends and family coming up during this holiday time, not by advice, but by dictates in many cases, I consider them now at this point information terrorists. They've got a new slogan. I'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. I'm having one of those days where I'm trying to do too much all at the same time. You have to bear with me for just a second. I got a clip here I want to play. This COVID stuff, it's relentless. I'm tired of talking about it. I hope I'm pointing out some things that are informative. I'm not just repeating myself. It's just we're trapped in this Groundhog Day, this Groundhog Year. And I was talking to somebody last night. She's got a child in the military up at West Point in New York. This poor child. Well, he's not a child. He's a man. He's graduating from West Point. The restrictions on these guys, these soldiers, they can't see his family, can't go see his girlfriend, they can't travel, they can't go off base. They're in this lockdown. It is this even at the military. You know, these are our tough guys. Now, listen, I understand military readiness. You don't want to really, I mean, even a bad flu, you don't want to get a bunch of soldiers sick at the same time. I mean, I understand that. But this has invaded every nook and cranny of our lives. And it is worse now than it was. And I hate to keep saying this, but all of you who thought, oh, this ends on November 4th, I told you this is a bigger thing than that. There's a lot more goals to be accomplished with a control of this. There's a story out yesterday from Australia. A new, more deadly strain. Oh, can you even imagine? It's going to be a mutation. The vaccine's probably not going to work for that one. There was a story last night I saw on the news, and of course they do this every time too. Look, it was a very tragic story about a 13-year-old kid who died. He's a football player. And they usually you'll know if a child dies of COVID because they'll do a story on it because it's rare. This kid, it was a very sad story. I felt bad for the mom, but I'm just going to say it. The kid was morbidly obese. He was a lineman on the football team. He was a huge kid. Now, this was a big, tall kid, but he was probably at 13 years old, I would say looking at him, 350 pounds. And his mom was equally obese. So it's a tragic story. But can we understand the severity of this thing has something to do with the way you've treated your health going forward? And maybe it's time to start paying attention to our health. Anyway, it's just crazy. And the information terrorists, I'm now calling them, when it comes to COVID, they've got a new slogan that they're going to roll out to us. It's going to be pretty heavy over the next few days. This is almost a quote. They will repeat this over and over, the Mockingbird Press. Gather for Thanksgiving. And then gather for a funeral. Gather for Thanksgiving, then be prepared to gather for a funeral. Because if you get together with your family for Thanksgiving, someone's going to die. Look to your right. Look to your left at the table. Which relative is it that you'll kill? I mean, absolutely bizarre. Yesterday, the COVID task force met or did a press conference. And I was interested in it because I just kind of heard it out of the, you know, I've got news on sometimes. I'm not really paying attention. But I heard Mike Pence take the stage and he started talking about we don't need to be locking down schools. And I got a little excited. I was like, well, finally, you know, somebody's coming out and saying he's going to bring some people out to explain that you don't need to shut down schools, that schools. And they brought the CDC guy in, this Redfield guy. I had to tell you, there's something off about that guy. I don't trust the CDC anyway. CDC is a vaccine sales organization. But that guy particularly, but I was quickly dissuaded of any, you know, change in tact because it was all about, oh, masks work. You got to just keep wearing your mask. You got to keep doing what you're told. They want to keep schools in session, but and that's good. That's good. But then they just kept going down the same thing. And I kept waiting. Certainly they're going to talk about vitamin D here soon. So I listened for a little while. They would get to a, you know, kind of a run on what you can do to protect yourself and hand washing, social distancing, mask wearing. And I would just, wait. Yeah, vitamin D and zinc? Oh, no, they missed it. Every time. Every time it was teed up for them, they never even mentioned it. So there were a bunch of mask worshipers, and then they brought on this woman. I think she's some kind of a mental health professional. You gotta love how this is what the governments around the country, at the federal level, the state level, the local levels are doing now. What they did was they created a situation and a hysteria and a fear that has damaged people emotionally and mentally. It's completely their fault. And then they go around telling you how we need to really be cognizant and make sure that we're helping these people. A lot of people are experiencing some real hardship right now. They created the hardship for these people. Had we done nothing, would have some people have died? Yes, with some tragic stories. I might not be on the microphone right now. I mean, I don't know if anything would have changed. I may get COVID and die tomorrow. The way I look at it, though, how many businesses is my life worth? I mean, legitimately, if one business, one small business had to close, but I could continue to live, I mean, I've got children and I think some people that are kind of fond of me, maybe one business. You know, someone came up to me, I've owned businesses, someone came up and said, hey, either your business gets it or this kid gets it. I mean, I might close my business to save a life, but I'm under no illusion that my life is worth three businesses, three families, financial futures, and the futures of their children. No. My life certainly isn't worth 10 businesses. You know what I mean? So I'm aware that I could possibly die going into, I could die of a car accident. Anyway, I don't want to get too deep into that stuff. But I wanted to play this because, boy, I did not like this. This is at the press conference yesterday. And this is a woman. Let me see if I can even, see if they'll put her name on the chyron here or something. Let me get her queued up. This is what I said. You're going to have to bear with me because I'm trying to do too many things during the commercial break. This is a mental health expert, and she's a member of the task force. I'm trying to find her name. Does it really even matter? Do we even really care? You listen to her voice. She's the calming voice here, but I want you to listen to what she thinks about, you know, it is a press conference about let's keep these kids in school. Speaking of keeping these kids in school, I saw yesterday, I think it's Boston University, is encouraging its children not only to stay in school or stay at school, but not to go home. Colleges are telling their kids, you know, for the longest time they told you don't come to school, but now that you're at school, don't go home. They are telling their children not to go home for Thanksgiving. For something that is 99.97% survivable, don't go home. These kids are going to be spending, I got to tell you, when I was a kid, I enjoyed college so much. I would have said, well, that's great. Me and all my buddies get to have Thanksgiving together. I don't have to go through all the, you know, family stuff. Now, I appreciate family now. That was just me as an obnoxious, selfish child. But, you know, Boston College is telling their kids, don't even go home. Anyway, here's what this woman had to say, which just, this may hit you differently. Look, I'm a different kind of person. There's no doubt about that. I see things very differently from the vast majority of people. But this hit me as incredibly creepy.
We must ensure that teachers, school staff, and parents are engaged in the solutions.
You can tell she's a mental health professional. She's very soft-spoken, very, very compassionate, very soft. She's really cares.
That we ultimately choose. just as I'm suggesting that we engage our teachers, I suggest also that we recognize the very real mental health considerations of what you may have heard called pandemic fatigue.
That the government caused. This is what's so funny to me. She's going to tell you, so maybe some of the things we can do to address the problem that we created. I mean, they don't say it that way, of course, right? It's just the idea of these bureaucrats is we had no choice but to do all of the draconian things we've done. We had no choice but to destroy businesses. We had no choice but to put people in chalk circles in the park. We had no choice but to cancel Thanksgiving. We have no choice but to cancel Christmas. They act like, oh, they've done everything right, and this just is one consequence of it. No, that's just absolutely patently not true. They didn't have to do any of this stuff, but they did, and now it's creating a ton of mental health problems for people. Anyway, it's this idea that she has about how to, well, I'll let her say it.
The engagement of Americans all over the country in slowing the spread of the virus is a strategy I think we should all consider. Again, we know masks work, but we know that some Americans aren't sure and may not be as compliant as we'd like.
Okay. You hear that? First of all, we know masks work. Well, that's interesting because I've played probably a dozen practicing doctors, virologists, immunologists, infectious disease experts. I've played a dozen of them on this show, and that's not all of them. There are hundreds and thousands of these doctors who tell you masks don't work. I played you a clip 2 days ago from that. So that's a little bit of subtle programming right there. They say these things like, we all know masks work. No, that's not true. We don't. And I got to tell you, the evidence of this spike in the fall after everybody's been masked up for 6 months really calls into question whether they work at all. And they don't. But anyway, she starts with that. But let me back her up just a second because she uses that word. Boy, I just can't stand. And that word is compliance.
All over the country and slowing the spread of the virus is a strategy I think we should all consider. Again, we know masks work, but we know that some Americans aren't sure and may not be as compliant as we'd like.
Compliant. Are you being compliant as they would like? Well, she's got some ideas on how to make you a little bit more compliant.
This is gravely frustrating for local officials.
Aww.
But rather than punishing or sanctioning, what if we employ a different technique? What if we recognize the psychological aspects of the fatigue and try to reinforce positive behavior with rewards rather than solely sanction what we deem to be bad behavior? For example, we know that compliance on college campuses has been a challenge, and individuals in this age...
How dare these children, these young adults, who have a chance of something like 1 in 500,000 of ever dying from this disease, how dare they not jump through all the theatrical hoops of a mask at every moment? How dare they not be compliant? They're not dying. Most of them aren't even getting sick past a sniffle. But how dare they? She really wants to figure out a way to get these, and I'm going to call them children. They're young adults. I've got two of them. She's going to... We might as well call them children because I want you to listen to what her idea is to get them to be more compliant.
Age group are a potential source of spread. What if colleges implemented a random reward system for mask wearing?
Ah.
This could be as simple as implementing a small gift card being given out to a student wearing a mask. This technique, known as contingency management, has had great success in the behavioral healthcare treatment communities. I offer it as a consideration which acknowledges the psychological aspects of our life's changes.
Oh, as I said, I know I'm weird. I'm weird. This stabs me in the brain. Because let me tell you what this sounds like. To me, first of all, it's this soft voice. This is basically a stone hand in a velvet glove. How do we get these kids to be more compliant? What if we started rewarding them? What if we just walked up to somebody who's wearing a mask like a good citizen and gave them a gift card? Do you know what this is? This is the Chinese social credit system. Are you familiar with this thing? You should be. You will be because it's coming this way. The Chinese have this system of where you get kind of bonuses. You get little perks in society if you do exactly what the government tells you to do. Now, we know the Chinese government is certainly not a benevolent force, this large communist government that controls 1.3 billion people with an iron fist. But in order to do that, they roll out a social credit system where you get little privileges, like you can travel, you can have a job, you get entertainment if you comply with if you're compliant with them in Chinese. I mean, but if you resist, no travel, no entertainment, no school, no work. See, this woman in this velvety voice, this very reassuring, motherly, caring voice is saying, they're just not compliant enough. Maybe if we give them something. So I guess the idea is if we do everything, everything the government asks us to do, regardless of how much it infringes on our rights or makes us uncomfortable and probably causes health effects itself, if we do everything right and we do everything they ask, they'll take us out for ice cream. That's how I hear that. And to this woman, I would say, I'm not your child. I don't need your rewards or your treats. I'm a fully functioning grown-ass man, and I make decisions for myself and for my family. And if I believe masks work, I would make sure that my children were wearing a mask anytime. If I thought the disease was such a danger to them, as my father said, you can bet your bottom, Bippy, that I would be keeping my children away from crap. That's not who I am. They haven't convinced me. So in a free country, I get to make that decision, and my children get to make that decision. But this idea of this woman coming out in her soft, soft voice, trying to get everybody to be a little bit more compliant with some goodies, kind of the carrot and the stick. Carrot being maybe a gift card if you do it. The stick being, well, maybe we kick you out of school and you never come back to finish your education because you don't believe in the mask. Yeah, this is a bad trend. You may feel from what you just heard, that may she may have been reassuring to you. So you may feel that I'm overreacting to this. But boy, this thing just, like I say, it stabbed me in the brain a little bit listening to this being delivered through this benevolent voice from the White House podium there. The lineup being Mike Pence, Anthony Fauci, Redfield from the CDC, and then they bring her on kind of as the closer. Well, I think Alex Azar got his time, you know, the Eli Lilly executive. Believe it or not, the Eli Lilly executive thought vaccines were going to be good for us. He's all about the vaccines. As I say, I at this point, I'm considering these people informational terrorists for what they're doing to our society and what they're doing. But anyway, just maybe her policies are enacted, and if you're a good, obedient citizen, they should give you two gift cards if you're actually driving around in a car by yourself with the mask on, because that shows you are compliant to a fault, to a ridiculous fault. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. The challenges go on. Rudy Giuliani had a press conference yesterday. I'm not going to play any of it. I got to tell you, it's no secret I'm not a Rudy Giuliani fan. I know a lot of people like him now because he's carrying the Trump banner through all this. But boy, I think Giuliani at best should play second, third, or fourth fiddle. The less media that Rudy Giuliani does, the better. I think he's a bit of a drinker. I'm just going to say that. I don't want to get accused of any slander or anything, but it just seems to me that something not quite right there. You know, you want outsiders in the government. Well, you can't get much more insider than Rudy Giuliani, but I just think he's ineffective. And I did watch some of the press conference yesterday. This is a weird thing. The country has split into two almost alternate universes. I don't know. I like United. I've got no problems with anybody that I meet on the street. You've got to earn my dislike. You know what I mean? I'm a friendly person. And I don't care who you vote for. I don't disassociate myself from my friends because they disagree with me politically. I engage them. I have some interesting conversations with them. Sometimes I convince them maybe of some of my points. Sometimes I don't. We go off. We tell a joke at the very end. And then I talk to them the next day about something totally different. That's what I think a normal human being does in interpersonal relationships. But most people have separated. I don't know unity is really. It seems to me we just need to kind of go to opposite sides of the country. I don't want to move, man. I don't know. There's some great parts. I've been to Montana. Beautiful up there. Do we need to go to Montana? I mean, I just think we need to break up to some point. I need to cancel this whole big federal government thing. Keep a government there, you know, for a mutual defense and that kind of stuff. But no policy out of D.C. And let's just go to some regions or just states' rights, whatever it is. We're just going to have to break up. But it's interesting to me in the dual universe thing, where you have the Trump is the Messiah or Trump is the devil. In the idea of the election, you have the Trump is going to overturn this election hands down, no problem whatsoever. They've got the smoking gun. And then you've got the rest of the country that is just like a big yawn. They think they're just flailing at stuff. And I got to tell you, I'm kind of in the middle of that. I certainly believe there were some problems with the election. Are they going to be able to prove anything in a court of law and actually get any action done on that? I'm very, very, very doubtful at this point. But, Mike, the military seized some servers. There was a shootout, I heard. And they got. And the idea that this was a sting, this is what I keep hearing and keep seeing. It's still going around out there. I guess the watermark ballots things didn't pan out, or is that still lurking? I don't know. I'm so confused. There's so many surefire slam dunk things, just like the prosecution of Hillary Clinton, and then the prosecution of Peter Strzok, and the prosecution of James Comey, and the prosecution of Barack Obama. I keep hearing about all this smoking gun evidence, and any day now this is going to happen. Do you understand? I've got fatigue from all of that, but if this was a sting operation, it is officially the worst sting operation I've ever seen in my entire life. Because if you have a sting operation, you sit there and you let them do their crime, and then you bust out from behind a curtain and go, aha! And you're ready to expose the thing, and the perps walk away in cuffs. I've seen enough TV and movies to know. A sting operation is a purposeful thing, knowing exactly what they do, setting them up to do it, and when they do it, busting them. What we're seeing now is all kinds of different theories about exactly, and I'm not doubting any of them, but this was no sting operation. Can we at least maybe admit to that at this point? If this was a sting, why did he fire this guy, Kress, who was like the cybersecurity guy for elections? What was was his chief Department of Homeland Security cyber guy not in on the sting? I mean, you would think he would play an integral part, or that Trump would have somebody in that office that was also setting up the sting. Or was the firing some kind of a misdirection? I mean, you know, I understand everybody's working on 4D chess here. But the more this thing drags out, the more Rudy Giuliani goes in front of the cameras. And look, this Sidney Powell, a lot of people have a lot of respect for her. Then I saw Joe DiGenova yesterday at the Rudy Giuliani thing. This is the Joe DiGenova that I know a lot of people like, so I'm going to make a lot of people angry again. He's been on talk shows and podiums for the last 3 years telling us all that there were 10,000 sealed indictments and they were just about, this was the thing. James Clapper and John Brennan are just about to be walked off. They're scared now. I heard this, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Joe DiGenova would come on Fox News or one of these shows and say, oh, I tell you what, when I hear John Brennan talk like that, he sounds like he's pretty scared to me. John Brennan isn't scared. Hadn't been scared for the last 3 years. Now he should be nervous if he wasn't a demon. He certainly has done a bunch of horrible things in his life. John Brennan was the former CIA director under Barack Obama, if you don't know. He's got a lot to atone for. I would not want to be John Brennan going to the pearly gates, I will put it that way. But I don't think he was scared of the system that he was about to be indicted and arrested and hauled off in cuffs. Now, Joe DiGenova has told us these things for 3 years. Now Joe DiGenova is on the Trump campaign legal team. There have got to be really good attorneys out there. This feels like flailing to me. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It feels like flailing. And again, I'm somebody who is on the outside. I don't love Trump. I don't hate Trump. I like some things he does. I disagree with a lot of the things he does, like I would any president. And I certainly don't think he's any level of a savior. But I'd like to see some kind of competent representation of this, because if there is election fraud, I think it's been going on long enough. It'd be nice to get to the bottom of it. This does not look like the team that's going to do that. Maybe I'm wrong. And Sidney Powell is the serious person that was on that podium last night, and she's going to get some things done. The frustrating thing is I'm not coming on air and going, oh, this is ridiculous. They need to give it up. They don't have any evidence. That's what the media is doing. That's what the vast majority of even politicians are kind of standing back and going, oh, I think he just needs to give up. That's not me. I want to see it exposed. The whole core nugget of this show, day in and day out, has been to expose the corruption, deal with it, get it out of our government, put some people in cuffs, and let's get this country back to some level of integrity that it lost decades ago. But it's just not happened. And I don't know if it's going to happen with this election stuff. I would sure like to see it. Wouldn't it be nice to think is there any hope right now? If nothing happens, if none of these things are exposed, prosecuted, it seems like there is overwhelming evidence of definitely some very big problems, but I don't know. I don't take for gospel truth everything I read on conservative media that says it's definitely that Donald Trump won Pennsylvania by 500,000 votes. That doesn't impress me. Prove it to me. Prove it to a court of law. Well, Mike, the courts are all corrupt. I'm sure there's some of that, too. This is part of the problem. Why didn't Donald Trump put in people to fix those things over the last 4 years? You see, you just can't have it every way. If this was a sting operation, a purposeful sting operation, then you just launch the counterattack the second you see them doing the crime that they have done. And they did it, 3 weeks ago now? I have basically zero faith. And Rudy Giuliani yesterday, the poor guy, I almost feel bad for him. Had stuff dripping down his face, looked like some of his hair dye. Look, I'm getting older. I don't judge Rudy Giuliani for dyeing his hair. He's just not a good spokesman. He said a lot of things, and to the point where during the impeachment stuff, my theory on Rudy Giuliani going through the impeachment as he was representing Donald Trump was he was actually sent in to harm Donald Trump. He was so bad. He made some appearances Trump did kind of remove him from mainstream media. I think as Trump's whole legal team during the impeachment stuff said, we got to quit sending Rudy out in front of cameras. Well, he's back again, and he's almost so bad, and he may have the goods. But as a spokesman, he's so bad, it almost feels like it's purposeful that he is there just to throw his hand, make a lot of wild gestures, make it look like they're really, really, really trying. But in the back, Rudy Giuliani is going, I'm just here to kind of sabotage this thing. Now, I don't necessarily believe that. I'm just saying he's so ineffectual to me at this point and seems a little off that he's just not the spokesman that they need. And I'm just not sure exactly why he's there. People will disagree with me. The weekend will come and go. We'll see if anything takes place. We've got some time. I've got clips. Don't worry. You're mad at me now, but in the end of the show, this week on the crazy train, I'll show you how disingenuous the media is about recounts and this taking time to sort out. They act like now we're putting our national security at risk by not Trump not conceding and letting Joe Biden in. But before the election, they were telling us every day, oh, this could take weeks or more than a month to sort out. So this wasn't unexpected to them. They knew there might be problems. But now, all of a sudden, because they see Trump as the obstructor, that they're piling onto it. I'll expose the left and the media at the end of this show, get you back on my side. I'm just saying, Rudy Giuliani, you got to – what's the thing from the cartoons? The big giant hook. When Rudy Giuliani gets behind a podium, they need Trump campaign. Somebody's got to be in charge of a big giant hook, and they put it out there and just pull him away from the podium. Let Sidney Powell do the talking from now on.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I've only got a couple of minutes left in this segment here, and then we'll get on to False Flag Friday and this week on the Crazy Train next hour to finish out the week. I don't know if I should save this story for this week on the Crazy Train. I just ran across it. You know, the odyssey of Tesla this year has just been fascinating to me. It's a consequence of the Fed printing up a bunch of money. I am a champion of new car companies and innovation, and you know, someone makes a good quality electric car and people want it. That's capitalism. I love that stuff. But Tesla is a financially manipulated company driven largely by just free dollars flowing from the Fed and people trying to speculate in things. Tesla has become, by market cap, the largest car company in the world. And apparently they just had a car crash. It shot out two flaming batteries into a home. One of them landed on a child's bed and set the house on fire. Maybe the Tesla story is just kind of an illustration of our economy across the board. It's all surface stuff, but when you really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, it is an absolute car wreck. So Tesla. Meanwhile, I saw a story the other day. Elon Musk makes $179,000 a second.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. It's Friday. You are here for my little segment called False Flag Friday, where I talk about how Americans are manipulated. We're tricked people around the world do this, but America's probably got it perfected. The false flag drags us into wars and endless military occupations, always giving us a boogeyman and a reason, a because. We're not really talking a lot these days about foreign policy stuff, but I tuck it in here. We got our domestic problems. It's really kind of interesting to me. What do you think about maybe the last 4 years we haven't really focused that much on Iran and hadn't been fighting wars and instead used our energy to get, I don't know, a functioning election system here? A lot of people probably think, oh, this guy just loves Iran. What is his fascination? I don't love any government. But it just seems to me that we've got some problems here we might want to address before we go running around the world trying to find boogeymen or governments that we just don't like. Kind of seems like we got enough on our plate here. Now, there was some good news this week. Trump has apparently ordered some troop drawdowns in Iraq and Afghanistan. And this is good. It's not full withdrawals. But he's made a mistake here. If your goal, which was one of the reasons I so enthusiastically voted for Donald Trump in 2016, was to end these wars, not tinker around with troop levels, end the wars. Declare that we are no longer actively involved in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Libya. We haven't done that. Leaving a footprint. The problem that Trump has left is that leaving a footprint, he's taking down supposedly about 2,000 troops or 2,500, maybe cutting troop levels in half in Afghanistan and Iraq. And this is set to take place by mid-January. Now, I don't know what happens with this election, but if it does not turn in Trump's favor, and it doesn't feel like it is to me, that's just kind of my gut right now, but my gut kind of changes day to day. If you leave a footprint in any of these countries, then you leave the next administration, and Joe Biden is a warmonger. Joe Biden will undertake any war he's told to undertake. And leaving these footprints of troops there means that all it has to do is just kind of quietly increase troop levels here or there, because we're already in the country. If Donald Trump had done what he campaigned on and ended these wars in the Middle East and brought our sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, moms and dads home, closed off the operations and said those countries are responsible for themselves, we can't afford an empire, then it would be much more difficult for a Joe Biden administration or any administration that follows him at any time to have started another war. Americans don't have appetite for another war, a new start of something, recommitting to an area. But Americans won't even notice if Joe Biden takes troop levels up from 2,500 to 5,000 and then 7,000. And then 10,000. It would have been much, much harder if we'd actually ended these wars. But I do understand, and look, I'm very critical about Donald Trump when it comes to foreign policy stuff. And I'm also aware that it's pretty easy for me to sit in this little chair in a studio in Flora, Mississippi, and judge him. I know he's up against it. But this is the Donald Trump that made his bones over the last, 10, 15 years on The Apprentice. People came to him all the time when they didn't get a project done on his show, and he just said, no excuses, you're fired. Now, suddenly now, well, he was gonna, but he couldn't because he... And the problem is, if he had appointed a bunch of really good people and they were all opposed by the deep state, the war machine, that I would say, wow, I mean, he really gave it his all. But he didn't do that. He brought in a bunch of warmongers into his administration. So how do I give him a pass now for not getting this done? He brought in the wrong people to get done what he said he was going to get done in 2016. Now, he announces these troop levels, and, oh, the establishment, this is our buddy, Mitch McConnell, leader of the Republican Party. Here's what he had to say about it.
We're playing a limited, but important role in defending American national security and American interests against terrorists who would like nothing more than for the most powerful force for good in the world to simply pick up our ball and go home. They would love that.
See, this is has been the Republican talking point from the warmongers, your Marco Rubios, your Lindsey Grahams, your John McCains, now your Mitch McConnells, the idea that if we remove our troops from some of these countries, you're just making the terrorists really happy. You can't be a patriotic American and not want to be involved in these other countries because that makes our enemies happy. Pick up our ball. The greatest force for good if we just leave these. So what he's saying essentially is we can never, ever, ever leave. And this is a wildly unpopular view in the United States. It is only the war profiteers that really have any get any benefit from these wars. But the subtext of what Mitch McConnell, and again, I'm telling conservatives this, you guys, and the left too, under Barack Obama convinced the left that war was cool, drone attacks were cool, new deployment of troops is cool. But conservatives have really been sucked into this, because I was. But I got over it about 15 years ago when I was a much younger person. If you're still clinging to this idea of American exceptionalism and the American leadership is going around and sticking a boot on the throat of any country that doesn't play ball with what we want, then you were just another Mitch McConnell. But the idea that, oh, you're just making the terrorists happy if we leave.
That's why last year, 70 senators, a bipartisan supermajority,
yeah,
voted for an amendment I authored. It acknowledged the progress made in Syria and Afghanistan, identified the risks that remain, and cautioned that precipitous withdrawal would create vacuums that Iran, Russia, and the terrorists would be delighted to fill.
Yeah, so what Mitch McConnell is saying, and this is why I say Trump had to end these things. The American people were with him, by and large. He would have been popular. There's a reason he didn't do it. I don't know exactly what it was. But what Mitch McConnell is telling you is there's never a time. I love the fact that after 20 years, they're talking about, oh, Trump's making a mistake. We can't do a hasty withdrawal. We've been there 20 years. What do you mean hasty? It's truly crazy. But on the heels of Trump announcing that just these troop withdrawals, I mean, we're not leaving any country. And seriously, what is Mitch McConnell talking about? Do we really have to fear the poorest country in the Middle East, Yemen? Am I missing something? Does anybody go to bed at night and say your prayers and saying, dear Lord, please protect me and my children and our country from those dastardly Yemenis? Have you ever said that? Ever? Yet we're involved right now in the mass slaughter that the Saudi Arabians are undertaking to go into Yemen. We're participating in that too. It's insane. Within hours of Trump even announcing these troop drawdowns, and Trump has finally brought a couple of good people into the Pentagon, his current acting defense chief and this McGregor guy. He's finally got some good people in. It's just 4 years in. The story said, coming less than within an hour of President Trump announcing his troop drawdown order in Iraq and Afghanistan Tuesday afternoon, a hail of rockets fell near the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. Local and regional reports say at least 5 rockets were fired on the fortified green zone in Iraq's capital, and that 4 struck near the American